From the Colorado Business Roundtable studios in Denver, you're listening to the voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable, focusing on issues around business, policy, and education with leaders across local, national, and international communities, making a difference and driving business success. This is Connect and Collaborate on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you for joining us today here on Connect and Collaborate, where we come together each day to introduce you to our network of business and community leaders and discuss important issues that impact business in Colorado and the region. I'm Tammy Schmidt, your on-air producer, and today we're going to be talking about the state of manufacturing in Colorado. I have two guests with me. Norm Stucker is the general manager with PADT Colorado. I spit it out right.
Hi, Tammy.
and Nathan Morimitsu, marketing manager with Manufacturer's Edge.
Hi, Tammy.
Thanks. Hi. Thanks so much for being here. And I want you both to tell our audience a little bit about what you do, who you work for, and why it matters.
Sure. So PADT is a mechanical engineering consulting company formed about 22 years ago, headquartered in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the P in the PADT.
Okay.
In Colorado, since we're not in Arizona, we just go by PADT. It actually stands for Phoenix Analysis and Design Technologies, which I like to say is a name only an engineer could come up with.
Only an engineer could love.
Yes. We do three things: numerical simulation, product development, and additive manufacturing. We've been doing additive manufacturing for 22 years, and the principals that started the company were for doing it for about 6 years before that. So we've been in this area since the late 80s.
And Nathan Morimitsu, tell us about Manufacturer's Edge.
Well, Manufacturer's Edge is Colorado's branch of the National MEP. That's the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. And we work with the Department of Commerce and NIST to basically manufacturers here in Colorado. We try and help them improve their processes, increase production, hire more people. And part of that is having a lot to do with additive manufacturing, with the recent opening of the ADAPT Center out of Colorado School of Mines. We're the lead fiduciary on that.
Okay. And one of the reasons we're having you here today is because as part of the Colorado Business Roundtable, the Colorado Business Roundtable advocates for a strong Colorado economy, focus on jobs and training that will help achieve that thriving workforce. And manufacturing is really a growing industry in Colorado. Can you speak to that a little bit?
I just read some survey or some ranking where Fortune put it out, or Forbes, where we were ranked 7th in the country of the fastest growing manufacturing cities. But the neat thing about Colorado's manufacturing is it's very specialized, very high tech, and very customized, which really speaks to some of these technologies we're talking about. I mean, the old traditional manufacturing, there's still some of that here, but there's never been a lot of it. It's high value manufacturing because we're not close to large markets.
Interesting. And Nathan?
I just pretty much second everything Norman says. We also we do a lot of food and beverage here in Colorado, which is really our largest industry. But
and that's interesting because I don't think people are going to think that that's manufacturing. You're thinking of building things.
They really don't. When I say, yeah, we're working with this brewery, they say, well, they're just making beer. And the operative word there is making. You're manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the really cool things about Colorado is we don't just make the beer. We make all the stuff to make the beer. And
right.
That's additive is going to be a big part of that.
Okay. And additionally, I wish I could speak today. Additionally, Colorado Business Roundtable's interest and investment in manufacturing goes along, too, with the Dream It, Do It initiative. And Dream It, Do It is an initiative of the National Association of Manufacturers and the Manufacturing Institute. They're working to close the skills gap in manufacturing by changing the perception of manufacturing, get more potential workers interested, identify those workers, connect them to training and educational opportunities. There's a lot of opportunity in jobs there, and it's kind of been an industry where people are like, yeah, we need manufacturing, but my kid's not going to work there. Is that kind of been?
Well, I think for, our perception of manufacturing has been this sweaty old, steel plant in Pittsburgh. And it's just not been attractive. And as we've moved from a manufacturing economy to a service economy, we've always kind of downplayed that aspect. But the reality is aerospace is manufacturing.
Sure. That's got to be good jobs.
Yeah, it's great jobs. Highest paying, you know, sector in Colorado's economy. And, you know, who wouldn't want to be an aerospace engineer? That's just an advanced manufacturing process. So it's your perception of what manufacturing is. There are still some, I say, trade level aspects of, you know, CNC workers and machinists that are still going to be needed, even with the advent of additive manufacturing. That's not going to completely obviate all of those skills, and we have to look at them differently. You know, those are highly technicians that are a valuable part of the manufacturing ecosystem.
And even with that, the CNC machines, all of these machines that we use to mill metal down and do all of this work, they're still computers running them, and it's no longer a brake press that's going to chop your arm off if you're not paying attention. It's a fairly safe piece of equipment that is doing incredibly fine detail work.
So there's some of that, like I said, the fine detail work. There are some of the trade jobs in there yet, but there's great, you know, managing jobs, design jobs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
There's jobs throughout the spectrum and well-paying jobs, too. Mm-hmm. There's, I mean, you can get a 2-year tech degree, get an internship, come out running a CNC machine, and be in demand, multiple job offers, much more than many people with a bachelor's degree that are working at Starbucks.
So that's where your bachelor's degree gets you. So we're so glad today to be talking with Norman Stucker, General Manager of PADT Colorado, and Nathan Morimitsu with Manufacturers Edge. He's the marketing manager there. And we're going to talk today, let's talk a little bit, we have about a minute left in this segment, a little bit about 3D printing. That's one area, and that is growing at a huge rate, right?
Yeah, and the part that is growing, the part that's growing the fastest is using this technology for manufacturing. Technology's been around from the 80s, but largely it was a design tool. And what you're seeing now is it becoming more than just a design tool, actually a way to impact your manufacturing process and then sometimes print your end-use parts.
So when you say design tool or the initial phases, that was like, okay, we can 3D print this and see what – so you're making your model faster or – right, but now you're not just making the models, you're making the actual product
You can be making your product. You can be making the tools that make your product. There's all sorts of aspects of manufacturing. And I talk a lot about tooling because it's an under – it's not as sexy, but it's a very important part of the process.
Okay, we're going to talk more about 3D manufacturing, all kinds of manufacturing here in Colorado. Stay with us here on Connect and Collaborate, the voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate, Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We discuss how to better align business interests, work together, grow the Colorado economy, and make Colorado the best place to live, now and for generations to come. Cobert is Colorado's affiliate of the National Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C., a relationship that gives us connections to top-level CEOs, business leaders, and policymakers here in Colorado, regionally, and nationwide. Cobert is an advocate for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help businesses grow and thrive in Colorado. We leverage a unique combination of multipliers, media, technology, and marketing to help our members' networks grow. We work together in strategic alliances with lawmakers, industry leaders, and educational institutions to ensure effective policy that supports good business as well as a strong, educated workforce. Go to cobrt.com to learn more, subscribe to our newsletter, and get involved.
CNC is supported by Icosa Media, a full-service media production house located in Denver, Colorado. Icosa Media provides custom media production here in Denver, Colorado. They choose to support the Colorado Business Roundtable because they believe in this state and value the business development opportunities that the Roundtable provides. They have been able to connect CNC with great clients and have offered access to high-profile interviewees such as Governor John Hickenlooper and Mayor Michael Hancock. As a member of the COBRT, you'll receive 20% off media production services. So if your business is looking to grow and engage your audience, join the Colorado Business Roundtable and call ICOSA Media. They have the tools and expertise to make you successful. Website design and digital advertising, high-end video production for both documentary and narrative styles, event photography, and even live streaming. Visit ICOSAMedia.com and check out their recent projects and see what they can do for you. Visit ICOSAMedia.com. ICOSA Media. Tell your story.
Are you interested in being your own boss, but don't know where to start? Made Right offers home-based business opportunities for people without business experience, so you can build a better life for you and your family. With Made Right, you go into business for yourself, not by yourself. We provide you with a startup package, which includes guaranteed clients, initial equipment, education on Made Right standards, constant support, and the opportunity to build a sustainable business in the community. Made Right's home cleaning franchise offers a proven track record of stability, guaranteed revenue, and innovative cleaning methods that will help you deliver superior cleaning services to keep your clients satisfied. Give us a call today and see why a home-based business with Made Right is the right fit for you.
Tap our number now, 303-898-0595. Change your life, 303-898-0595. Life is short. Clean less. Tap 303-898-0595 now.
Hi, my name is Greg, and I wanted to talk about alcohol treatment. There's a reason why it's difficult to stay quit, and it has nothing to do with character or willpower. It has everything to do with brain reward chemistry. Alcohol screws up the ability to produce sufficient dopamine, and any successful treatment has to fix that first. Go Sober restores the dopamine response. The process takes about 8 weeks. It involves medications and lifestyle changes. It costs about the same as a DUI with a much happier outlook. Take a look at their website at www.gosober.org or call 303-827-4837. They're nice people who understand the science of addiction and what to do about it. This is the last treatment you'll ever need.
If you or someone you love is ready to fight alcohol and get your life back on track, you owe it to yourself to include Go Sober in your battle plan.
We now return to Connect and Collaborate, voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you for staying with us for Connect and Collaborate. I'm Tammy Schmay, your on-air producer and today's host, because in studio today we're talking with Nathan Morimitsu. He's marketing manager for Manufacturer's Edge. Hi, Nathan.
Hi, Tammy.
And Norman Stucker is here. He's the general manager for PADT in Colorado. And we're talking about the state of manufacturing in Colorado. And Norman, I know you have, you can tell us a little bit of a story. It's kind of the state of the industry today.
Well, it's really fascinating because most people, when they think of additive manufacturing or more commonly 3D printing, they're like, oh, wow, isn't that new technology? Isn't that great where it's going?
That's exactly where I'm coming from, yeah.
The reality is not new technology.
Okay.
And it depends on what aspects of the technology. The core, and I like to break it down between the metals and the polymers. Polymers, just a fancy word for plastics.
Okay.
The plastic aspects of it have been around since they were really invented in the late 70s, patented in the 80s, and then really been around for 30 years, largely in the design world. You've seen a lot of improvements happening, some advances in the a lot of advances in the technologies, but the core technologies have been there around for a while. You had an interesting thing occur in the about 5-6 years ago is that those original patents expired.
What happened.
Yeah, and so now with one specific technology, FDM, fused depositional modeling, it's the fancy weed whacker material. It's just basically a glue gun on steroids, is what I like to say.
Really,
you're taking out a filament of material, heating it up and laying it down, and just tied to your CAD machine.
Huh.
And that technology, I think that patent expired in 2008, and So now
everybody can make them.
Everyone can make them at a really low cost.
Right.
And what happened with that is that opened up what they call the consumer 3D printer market. And this whole concept that you're going to be having a manufacturer in your home,
mm-hmm.
just like we've taken other digital mediums into your home, you know, now you're going to be manufacturing stuff in your home.
Okay.
And the prices.
I need a toothbrush. I could have used that when I lost my luggage last week.
So that concept, which was highlighted at the Consumer Electronics Show in 2012, where 3D printing was everywhere, and it was every headline, and everything was 3D printing this, 3D printing mm-hmm. that, really took over the media. This is going to be the next industrial revolution. You're going to be doing it in your home, blah, 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 blah. It led to, I would call, overinflation of what can be done at the cost levels that can be done.
Like an overinflation of the anticipation of it?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. How easy it is to do it, how effective it can be. The analogy someone used to me recently, and that kind of bubble has burst.
Okay.
The stocks of the major publicly traded companies are way off of their highs. But the industry is still expanding. The industry is expanding 25-30% a year. The manufacturing aspect of the industry is expanding at 40-45% a year. But the idea that you're going to be 3D printing your toothbrush in your home, not so much.
No.
Someone used the analogy once, it's like a bread machine.
Okay.
15 years ago, people were coming up with these home bread machines.
That's
and
right.
It's like, oh, yeah, right, I'm going to bake my own bread. And I'm going to spend 3 hours getting all the ingredients, and I'm going to bake it, and it's fresh, and it's wonderful, and it cost me $3. You do it once or twice, and you realize that was a lot of work.
You know what? The store has bread.
The store has bread. We're still buying bread.
Yes.
The consumer 3D printing market is I don't see as big of a future for that. The manufacturing market is huge.
Big distinction.
We're just at the early, early stages of that.
Okay, and then Nathan, can you tell us a little bit more about where that factors in for manufacturers?
Well, what's happening is we're starting to see, kind of coming out of some of the developments that happened in the consumer market, but mostly with the people making these machines are realizing, hey, there's a way to use what we're doing to do other things. And so we're seeing new filaments come online for the FDM processes where it's no longer just cheap plastic like you'd make a toy out of. There's carbon fiber, there's metal infused, there's wood infused. I saw some examples that Norman had yesterday in an event that were high temperature plastics that could be used for aerospace parts and rocket parts. And so
really,
you're looking at the ability to take parts that used to have to be milled in multiple pieces and then welded together. And every time you weld something, you end up with a weak spot in it.
Okay.
And so now we're able to create these parts that are exceptionally strong and do them in a single piece. And by making it in a single piece and not having all these weird welds and melting points in it, it just stays better. And that's really where it's getting. I mean, you're looking at compound curves that a five-axis machine chokes on and lots of stuff like that. That's where the change is happening in manufacturing.
And that was an example that Heidi Hostetter told us a couple of weeks ago of like a part that had at one point had or previously had been 18 parts and now it's one.
Yeah.
And so that's more stability, I'm sure, reliability for, you know, if that's in an aircraft, you've got one part. It's not
going to
break.
You also don't have those 18 parts going down a line and being touched by 10 or 18 people.
Mm-hmm.
And each one of those people could be slightly distracted and put a flaw into it, and then those flaws just amplify.
Sure.
You've got something that as long as your material you're building from is pure and clean, you've got these parts that are perfect as they can be in a computer.
On Connect and Collaborate today, we're talking to, you just heard from Nathan Morimitsu with Manufacturer's Edge, and we're also talking with Norman Stucker with PADT Colorado.
Yes. You know, there's a phrase that, it's still around, designed for manufacturing, manufacturability. And it's still a concept because what you can design, you know, the old school guys with the big thick fingers would say, slap, slap, slap. How are you going to build that? And this technology really starts to get to the core of it is if you can design it in 3D, you know, more often than not, we can manufacture it. And our company, I said, does numerical simulation. I won't get into all of that, what it is, but it's the ability to one of the things it does is it can optimize your design. So you're putting the material where the forces and the stresses really need to be.
Okay.
And you can come up with these really organic shapes, like they were made, like your body is made.
Right.
But how would you manufacture that?
Right, because I'm thinking in manufacturing, you kind of went circles and squares and rectangles.
Yeah.
And
yeah. But now when you can manufacture anything and we can put the material down right where it needs to be, additively wise, we can manufacture things. We can use the software to tell us where the material wants to be, and then we can tell the machine to put the material where we know it needs to be.
Okay.
And we're finding certain parts that have been optimized where we're taking 60 to 70% of the weight out of the part.
Oh, right.
Same functionality, same strength, much lighter. And we were in an event yesterday which was aerospace focused. Well, in aerospace, weight is money.
I bet, yeah. To get that thing off the ground?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So you've got a better part. You've got a lighter part. You know, in the case that you were talking about, you have a part that is simplified. Mm-hmm. You're taking all of these parts down to one. One of my large clients, ULA.
And then if you don't have all those joints, it's lighter.
Bingo. It's lighter. It's better. It's less failure points. And you're really empowering the designers.
Now they can literally do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Neat.
And so there are still some constraints, and I still hesitant to speak too much hyperbole into this because mm-hmm. we're early in this phase.
So as we started at the beginning of the show, now we're talking about how this mm-hmm. how the 3D printing and additive printing mm-hmm. is that the right word?
Additive manufacturing.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So then, what does this mean now in how things change? Either so you're talking about yes, it's less weight on in an aircraft, mm-hmm. which is really big in aerospace. Mm-hmm. But what does this mean now for jobs or how things are designed? Or
the jobs are still going to be there. Mm-hmm. People think, well, we're putting all these machines in, we don't need the people. Well,
no, you need
people
designers.
Have to run the machines. Mm-hmm. People have to maintain the equipment, and then we need the designers. And specifically, like going back to the Dream and Do It campaign, we need people who are smart enough and have the skill sets to run those machines. And it's not using a hammer and a chisel anymore. It's being able to measure things down to nanometers. And mm-hmm. eventually we're going to get to tolerances with additive manufacturing where probably within our lifetimes we're going to have our tolerances at an atomic level. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Okay, I don't know what that means. Can you explain that?
Currently, our most tolerances and things are, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Norman, in a lot of products, they are measured in tenths of a millimeter or hundredths of a millimeter. When we talk about tolerances at the atomic level, we're going to know that each atom in that piece of material that we've created in that part is exactly where it's supposed to be.
Okay.
Like literally the molecules will be bonded together in a certain order to create that part.
Wow.
And when you know that, when you can get all of those tolerances to that level, then you end up with stronger parts because it's not just squished together, it's actually atomically bonded. You've gone from single atoms to molecules to strings of molecules making your parts. And the science behind it and the math behind it just boggles my mind. But that's part of
your mind. Look at me over here.
That's part of why we worked on getting the Adapt Center here is because we have the equipment so that we can start to figure out what those tolerances are and actually measure them.
Mm-hmm. So this is all a really big step moving forward for manufacturing. And for Colorado, it feels like Colorado's really on the cusp of it then, kind of leading the way in some ways.
Well, the Adapt Center was large. Mm-hmm. What's interesting about this technology is in some ways its roots are in Colorado. There's a company, 3D Systems, which really got its start out in Grand Junction.
Mm-hmm.
They were the professor at Grand Junction, was doing some lasers. They really came up with that company, and they're one of the main publicly traded companies in the industry right now.
Great. We're going to talk more about that. We're going to talk also more about the impact on manufacturing. Stay with us for Connect and Collaborate, Voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable.
With SRN News, I'm Keith Peters in Washington. Turkey's leader says his country will overcome terrorist groups. President Erdogan says terrorists are trying to impede Turkey's ambitions, including becoming one of the world's 10 strongest economies and building the world's largest airport. Security forces suspect Islamic State carried out yesterday's airport attack. The death toll has reached 42. Singer Brad Paisley has started a crowdfunding website campaign to raise money for flood relief efforts in his native West Virginia. The country star kicked off a GoFundMe account by donating $100,000. Paisley said in a statement that now that floodwaters are receding, it's time to pitch in. He hopes the effort will raise $1 million. Last week's flooding killed 23 people and wiped out many homes. On Wall Street, the Dow up by 285 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Financial words of wisdom with Market Wrap host Mo Ansari.
Don't tell me technicals do not matter. Of course they matter.
Let your winners run, cut your losers quickly. Being hyperactive is just as bad as being a holden hoper. Middle of the road is the answer, and that's what you need to do.
It's helpful financial food for thought on your drive home with a host who tells it like it is. Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Weeknights at 6 on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Colorado Business Roundtable is working for your business. As an advocate for proactive legislation that strengthens the economy and helps businesses grow and thrive in Colorado, the work we do makes your business stronger. We work with lawmakers, industry leaders, and educational institutions to ensure effective policy that supports good business, as well as a strong, educated workforce. The Colorado Business Roundtable is a network that expands our influence and reach. Go to COBRT.com to learn more, subscribe to our newsletter, and get involved.
If you own a small business, you know that bookkeeping is tedious, and frankly, it's not how you want to spend your time. Let Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax step in and customize a plan to fit your company's needs. Whether it's payroll use, sales and withholding taxes, financial statements, or banking, Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax will free you up to focus on growing your business. Ask about their offer for free tax prep for next year, too. Call Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Tax at 720-998-1830 or visit wintermountainstax.com. That's 720-998-1830. Winter Mountains Bookkeeping and Taxes done right. Do you know who's in your cyberspace? Over 30,000 websites and over 600,000 Facebook accounts are hacked daily. Don't be a victim. Tune into the new live call-in show, Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show, weekdays from 5 to 6 p.m. on KDMT. Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show, will discuss cybersecurity issues that affect our daily lives, from Hillary's private server to ransomware to protecting your kids online and everything in between. Call in and get expert advice on Hacked, the Charles Tendell Show, every weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. on 1690 AM, Denver's Money Talk. Join Dave Tabor every Saturday for Pro Business Colorado from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, KDMT, 1690 AM. Dave and his guests will be sharing their stories of business successes and failures, fascinating insights on what goes on behind the scenes, tips and advice, and personal insights. Pro Business Colorado is all about spirit and the spirit of opportunity created by people who want to start and grow their businesses. This is a show for people who love the dynamic world of business, entrepreneurship and innovation. Dave believes that even if you haven't started your business yet, that everyone really has a business within them. You'll hear from successful Colorado business people and business experts who will inspire you and offer ideas and stories to help you succeed within your business. Like you, Dave and his guests believe in the entrepreneurial dream. For more information or to catch past shows, visit soundcloud.com/probusinesscolorado or visit Pro Business Colorado's Facebook page. Again, that's soundcloud.com/probusinesscolorado or visit Pro Business Colorado's Facebook page. Where do you keep the things that are most important to you? At home, right? But just how secure is your home? Do you own a security system? And if so, is it currently being monitored? Have you signed up for monitoring service only to find out there were rate hikes and other hidden fees buried in the fine print? It's time for something different, something better. ProSec is changing the way Coloradans look at security. ProSec will send a professional to your home, evaluate your needs, and give you an honest assessment. No hidden agendas, fees, or complicated contract terms. And with ProSec, your monthly rate is guaranteed for the entire term of your agreement. Stop paying those increasing rates and let ProSec take the mystery out of home security. Call 303-835-8100, 303-835-8100, or visit ProSecAlarm.com. That's P-R-O-S-E-C Alarm. Get a free home security camera system or up to 4 months of free monitoring with new account activation.
Now back to Connect and Collaborate, voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
If you're just joining us, we are talking today about 3D printing, manufacturing Colorado altogether. My guests are Norman Stucker. He's the general manager at PADT Colorado and Nathan Morimitsu with Manufacturer's Edge. He's the marketing director, and I just kind of stumbled over that because I was counting on my computer to be where I put it, and it wasn't anymore. So we're talking about the state of manufacturing in Colorado, and with the new technologies, it's really changing the game, isn't it?
Oh, it is. One of the great things about additive manufacturing is it's completely inverse the economies of scale. We no longer have to build 5,000 of something to make it practical. We only have to build one.
See, so I think that has to get people's attention when you can say what you imagine economy scales are. It's a little bit backwards for the way this works, but works for the industries that need these specialized parts.
And in Colorado, as I said a segment ago, we specialize in high-valued manufacturing. Mm-hmm. That's where this plays.
I mean, so describe high-value manufacturing.
Complex, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, aerospace is the best example.
It really is.
Really, we're talking billion-dollar satellites. You know, every part in there is very valuable, and yet we're making one of them. Mm-hmm. Each satellite is different. This is a perfect application for this technology.
Oh, that's a good description, because mm-hmm. when Heidi and Aaron were here from ADAPT, they were saying that they made the world's most expensive bottle opener
yes.
as a takeaway prize.
Yes. Yeah.
So when you're making a bunch of little things like that, it's a little bit of a waste. But if you're making up to five of something that goes in a rocket, then it's valuable.
And so...
And I can make a bottle opener or a keychain.
So you can do it.
Yeah.
And we were at the ADAPT Center, and I have one of those world's most expensive bottle openers. Good. But you would never. That would never replace traditional manufacturing. Mm-mm. That's a nice giveaway. Mm-hmm. But there are a lot of applications where either you wouldn't have done it before because it just doesn't make financial sense, or you would do it because it's a national security item. The cost is no limit.
You'll make it, yeah.
Now we can do it and provide huge value to that industry, because not only can we make it less expensively, we can make it better. Like as we talked on last segment, combining those parts into one.
And as completely custom as it needs to be.
Customized manufacturing.
Okay.
But the holy grail is... low quantities, okay. high value, highly complex. And
that's where
this
is valuable.
That's where these we can find applications to use this technology in manufacturing.
Perfect.
It can be used in design in almost anything that you're making. It can help you design something better. But how you can use it to actually make that final part. But there is an in-between step.
Okay.
And this gets stepped over all the time, because we think of design, we think of manufacturing, and that is the tooling that's required to do the manufacturing. And it's not sexy, it's not high profile, it's just tool and die guys making stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, they're CNCing stuff, and now we can actually 3D print those tools in a fraction of the cost, a fraction of the time, lighter weights, and all of the other advantages.
Okay, so you said CNC, and is that create and something? What's CNC?
Oh, computer numerical.
CNC.
CNC.
You got me. There's so many acronyms.
That's a word everybody else knows.
Yes.
It's a computerized milling machine.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's deductive manufacturing, where you're taking a block of something and you're taking stuff away.
Mm-hmm.
And we've computerized it now, so it's more high tech than it used to be 50 years ago. And so you need those advanced skills, but you're still taking stuff away.
Okay. Where do people learn this? This is School of Mines, this is engineering schools, but not all jobs require that.
No. There's lots of programs at the community college level for mm-hmm. manufacturing. There's great programs at Front Range in Boulder County. And then the Metro State has just opened up a manufacturing college, an advanced manufacturing school there, where they are doing some really remarkable stuff. And I think we're going to see a lot of really talented manufacturing engineers come out of there.
What kind of interests, tell me what kind of students should be maybe pushed this direction?
All kinds.
Okay.
The Emily Griffith College has a great program there that involves, I mean, they've got students whose interests range from math to art.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all able to put these skills to use and these, you know, passions to use to create new technologies and to learn how to manufacture new technologies.
So one of the things that I talked to Nathan about yesterday at the event was him coming down and participating in this roadshow that we're doing next month.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be highlighting the world's most advanced multi-material printer. Now, this printer, we're holding it July 25th down in Littleton at St. Patrick's Brewery. This printer was just released 2 months ago, and it prints 6 materials at a time. The difference, though, between this technology, it's additive, but it's inkjetting out materials that aren't strong enough to be used in the manufacturing world.
Okay.
It's great in the design world.
Okay.
But it's also great in the art world.
Oh.
Where you're seeing artists use it. You're seeing fashion designers use it. You're seeing it transform the way other aspects of our whole design process. And don't just think engineering design.
Right.
Now think artistic design.
And this is opening up all kinds of...
It really is. And we've got this one example in Japan where they're printing out sushi.
What?
Yes. Yes.
Food?
Well, not edible.
Okay.
But to market it, and it looks exactly like sushi. I don't think it tastes like it. But
so when you go to the restaurant and they have it kind of on display,
that's,
you know, or your desserts.
Yes.
Yes. So now they can 3D print it.
3D print all that.
You don't have to waste all that yummy dessert.
We can do up to, I think it's 300,000 different materials.
Wait. Okay. So you said multi-material printer.
Yeah, yeah.
So what kind of materials? Anything.
Like I said, up to 300,000. So we have some core materials, and won't get into all the aspects of the, and I'm not a material engineer. Plus, we bore everybody in the audience. But but the reality,
engineers talking, proceed slowly.
But you know, we'll come out, you know, July 25th. Take a look at this machine. We'll have some examples on display. One of the areas that we're seeing a lot of use is in the medical. Is surgery prep, where we can actually take doctors through exactly. We can do all full tissue. I mean, there's bioprinting that we can actually print live cells. That's a whole other aspect. But what I'm talking about is just pre-surgery. How can we help the doctors train, prepare?
So you can make a model of what they're going to...
Exactly.
Basically, you can make them a practice dummy so that they don't screw up on the real dummy.
And we'll have
not dummy.
We'll have a lot of medical
intelligent
examples
life
there.
That's wonderful, and that's going to be at St. Patrick's Brewery in Littleton on July 25th.
Correct. Thank you.
To see the world's most advanced multi-material printer in additive manufacturing. So that's really, really cool. Thanks so much, Norm, for basically inviting all.
You're
of
all invited, and we'll even buy the beer.
Oh, even better.
Extra. And tell us a little bit about the event you had yesterday, Nathan.
It was the it was at Jefferson County. It was the JEFCO, EDC, and NASA Aerospace and Defense Small Business Industry Day. And there was representatives from several NASA centers there, as well as the United States Air Force. And they were discussing business opportunities for Colorado companies, whether that was manufacturers or janitorial firms. The government's looking for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some great programs to specifically get small business involved in government work. And you think about it, there's some small businesses in Colorado that have gone from small to large, but they have things on Mars. I mean, there's companies in Colorado that are literally driving on another planet. There's even one company in Boulder where our offices are housed. They've got something on or around every planet in the solar system.
We're talking today with Nathan Morimitsu with Manufacturers Edge and Norman Stucker with PADT Colorado. We're talking about skin manufacturing in Colorado. So we're going to be back with a little bit more. Stay with us for more Connect and Collaborate, Voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable.
Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
The Colorado Business Roundtable brings you Connect and Collaborate, Monday through Friday from 4 to 5 p.m. here on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM. We discuss how to better align business interests, work together, grow the Colorado economy, and make Colorado the best place to live, now and for generations to come. Cobert is Colorado's affiliate of the National Business Roundtable in Washington, D.C. a relationship that gives us connections to top-level CEOs, business leaders, and policymakers here in Colorado, regionally, and nationwide. Cobert is an advocate for proactive business policies that strengthen the economy and help businesses grow and thrive in Colorado. We leverage a unique combination of multipliers, media, technology, and marketing to help our members' networks grow. We work together in strategic alliances with lawmakers, industry leaders, and educational institutions to ensure effective policy that supports good business as well as a strong, educated workforce. Go to cobert.com to learn more, subscribe to our newsletter, and get involved.
CNC is supported by Icosa Media, a full-service media production house located in Denver, Colorado. Icosa Media provides custom media production here in Denver, Colorado. They choose to support the Colorado Business Roundtable because they believe in this state and value the business development opportunities that the Roundtable provides. They have been able to connect CNC with great clients and have offered access to high-profile interviewees such as Governor John Hickenlooper and Mayor Michael Hancock. As a member of the COBRT, you'll receive 20% off media production services. So if you're business is looking to grow and engage your audience, join the Colorado Business Roundtable and call Icosa Media. They have the tools and expertise to make you successful. Website design and digital advertising, high-end video production for both documentary and narrative styles, event photography, and even live streaming. Visit IcosaMedia.com and check out their recent projects and see what they can do for you. Visit IcosaMedia.com. Icosa Media. Tell your story. Join Dave Tabor every Saturday for Pro Business Colorado from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Denver's Money Talk, KDMT, 1690 a.m. Dave and his guests will be sharing their stories of business successes and failures, fascinating insights on what goes on behind the scenes, tips and advice, and personal insights. Pro Business Colorado is all about spirit and the spirit of opportunity created by people who want to start and grow their businesses. This is a show for people who love the dynamic world of business, entrepreneurship, and innovation. Dave believes that even if you haven't started your business yet, that everyone really has a business within them. You'll hear from successful Colorado business people and business experts who will inspire you and offer ideas and stories to help you succeed within your business. Like you, Dave and his guests believe in the entrepreneurial dream. For more information or to catch past shows, visit soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado or visit Pro Business Colorado's Facebook page. Again, that's soundcloud.com/ProBusinessColorado or visit Pro Business Colorado Facebook page.
Financial market analysis from Market Wrap host Mo Ansari.
Diversification is the key. You have to have diversification in these markets. And if you have all your eggs in one basket, when things go bad, you're going to get hurt.
It's financial food for thought on your drive home. Market Wrap with Mo Ansari.
Weeknights at 6 on Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Want a heavy-duty American-made vacuum that makes the others look like they? Come to All Ray's Vacuum and Sewing, where service and quality still count. All Ray's Vacuum is the oldest vacuum location in town for over 35 years. With over 200 makes and models on display and over 10,000 bags, belts, and parts in stock, you'll be sure to find what you need. So visit All Ray's for all your vacuum and sewing machine needs at 3740 South Broadway, just south of Hamden, or visit them online at allraysvacuum.com.
We now return to Connect and Collaborate, voice of the Colorado Business Roundtable on KDMT, Denver's Money Talk, 1690 AM.
Thank you so much for staying with us today. I'm Tammy Schmidt, your on-air producer here for Connect and Collaborate, and we're talking today with Norm Stucker, General Manager of PADT Colorado, and Nathan Morimitsu, Marketing Manager with Manufacturers Edge. And today's topic is kind of the state of manufacturing in Colorado, and let's talk now about the future of the industry. Norm?
Yeah. So, I mean, the future in the industry is really bright, and I kind of downplayed some of the consumer usage, but as far as the manufacturing usage, and I want to just fully focus on aerospace, but we've got a lot of aerospace in Colorado,
mm-hmm.
and my biggest companies are aerospace companies, and one in particular that is atypical within the aerospace company world is that they're actually putting some of their information out there, and most of the aerospace companies keep them.
Yeah, all hold their that secrets. Pretty close to the
yes.
best, right?
And that's a concern, and we'll talk a little bit about how the Adapt Center is trying to address that, and Nathan can talk about that. But what ULA is doing and has been doing
United now, Launch Alliance.
United Launch Alliance, you know, literally the world's premier launch service. And they've got some bad press by some of their competitors are saying, you guys aren't innovating. We're innovating. We're landing reusable rockets. We're doing this. We're doing that. And they're like, well, we're innovating too. And they've been taking this technology specifically on the polymer side, the plastic side, mm-hmm. And doing, you know, combining. There's this one video that's out there. If you go to YouTube and just Google or just in YouTube, put in ULA innovation or ULA Stratasys. You'll come up with several videos that talk about, you know, the work that they're doing. The one part that they highlight a lot is this big duct. It's about 3 feet in length,
okay.
And it goes all around the circumference of the rocket. And there were 140 of these parts. And they've transferred that design into 16 parts. That's lower. So
it was how many? 80 parts?
140.
140 parts.
To 16. And
that's a nice reduction.
Yeah, great reduction at lower cost, lower weight, faster times, more innovative, better parts.
Lower weight because you have less parts coming together,
yeah.
Right?
Less complex, huge. Better design, less points of failure. The speed to market is faster. They don't have to send it out. There's another procurement and all of the advantages. And that's just one example, but it highlights the promise of of where this is going. But that's on the plastic side.
I was going to say, it's kind of funny because that doesn't sound really interesting.
Yeah.
They made a vent. They made, you know. But it's innovative and it's really an advantage to building
exactly
what they're building.
It helps them be more competitive. And
more streamlined.
Yeah. All of the advantages using today's technology as opposed to doing it the way they used to do it. There are other things, too, that's one that they've gone public with, so happy to talk about that. But they're doing some great things, as are all the Colorado's companies. And almost all of them are using it for design. And increasingly, more and more of them are using it for manufacturing as well. And this ADAPT Center, which I believe Lockheed and Ball are founding members in, you can talk about that for a little bit.
Oh, yes. One of the great things about ADAPT is the ULA parts there, they're focusing on plastic. The ADAPT Center is all about metal
mm-hmm.
and metal additive manufacturing. And one of the things with metal manufacturing is when I was talking earlier about weld points and welds are weak, when you're doing additive manufacturing with metal, you're essentially making millions and millions of little tiny welds.
Okay.
Because what you do is you've got a powder, and then the lasers fire into the powder and heat it up to the point where it melts and joins into the part that you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to figure out how those parts stand up to the ones that were milled on, you know, your five-axis machines that started as a great big block of solid metal. And so we have some great equipment out there. We've got load test equipment. We also have one of the first in the world Zeiss microscopes there it's an X-ray microscope. We call it the Death Star. It doesn't look like the Death Star. It actually is pretty boring to look at. It's just this box, but when you understand
box is a Death Star.
Yeah, when you understand what comes out of it and look at the imagery that comes out of it, it's just fascinating.
Hmm.
And we've got a couple of optical microscopes that can actually scan in 3D and are able to look inside of these parts. And the reason why we put this together and why we're working on this with Lockheed, Ball, Fauston, School of Mines, and Citrion, which is a data company, they're kind of managing all the data end of things, is so that we can, not really, but basically create ISOs for additive manufacturing so that we understand exactly how the metal is after we're done making it. And after we're done printing these parts, because we want to know that this part that we printed, yes, we saved a whole bunch of weight on it, but is it as strong as the part we milled out of a solid block?
Okay.
And hopefully it is. All indications are that it's going to be, but we need to be able to validate that. And that's what the ADAPT Center is going to do. And by being partnered with the School of Mines, it's basically data that anyone has access to. We can say, you know, we'll develop this data and we'll have all these data points where we can say this was made on this machine that uses these particular lasers at this frequency using this powder that came from this company that provided it And we know that that part is exactly the same or better than this part that was milled from a block of metal that came from this manufacturer and was milled on this machine. So it's all about the validation and making sure that we've got literally all our ducks in a row and everything's good.
And Nathan talked about what's happening on the metal, and you can't lump all of these technologies together.
Okay.
Because the polymers and the metals, they all have different places, and they're a different state of development. The polymers are more advanced, but they have a limit on what they can do just because the strength of plastics aren't as strong as metals.
Is plastic stronger when it's created this way?
No.
Okay.
But
I was just curious.
Yeah.
I was swimming in my head.
I guess the message is we have a variety of engineered thermoplastics.
Yes.
So it's not just the ABS plastic that you see for that light switch over there. Mm-hmm. We've got some advanced thermoplastics that have great, really great properties. And generally, they're going to perform differently when they come off of the printer.
Okay.
So it's not that they're stronger or weaker. We just need to know what that number is. Because if we know it's 8, then we'll design to 8.
Gotcha.
If we know it's 12, we'll design to 12. We just need to know what that number is and be able to repeatedly hit it all the time. Then you give that to your designers, and they say, here we go.
So being able to design this way, that's where it really opens up, right,
mm-hmm.
for additive manufacturing and 3D printing. To be able to design this way, what does that, if you had to nutshell it right now with a couple minutes left in our entire show, what does that mean for business, for design, for industry here in Colorado?
Innovation.
Yeah.
Innovation. It just opens up your...
You can try anything.
You can try anything, and the limitations that were on you before are not on you now. Can you do anything and everything? That's probably too big of a picture to paint, but you can do a lot more than you could when you were doing it before.
So that idea that didn't work 5 years ago could work today.
Yes.
That kind of idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or that part that wasn't financially viable before, you would never have made it because of all of the tooling costs. Now you can.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we're really approaching the point where at some point the limit truly will be our imaginations, and you come up with that great idea when you fall off the toilet, and next thing you know, you've actually built a time machine.
Is that where great ideas come from, Nathan?
Have you not watched Back to the Future?
Oh, but I'm sorry.
Literally, okay. That's where we're going to be in a few years, and we're going to have that ability to innovate beyond the scope of our imagination now.
Right. And that's what Colorado wants to be, right? We want to be this innovative state.
100%.
And this is a technology that is in keeping with Colorado's brand.
Yes.
And earlier I asked, and I just want you to restate this, when we're looking at students that you want to help push this direction, what skills, what frame of mind, what students should be looking this direction for their future career?
Again, any student should be. There's opportunities.
Because it's wide open.
Yeah,
right?
There's so much opportunity and so much that can be done with additive manufacturing in general, that pretty much anybody can find something interesting to do with it. I mean, I work in marketing, but I also work with manufacturers every day of the year, and I wouldn't trade it for a thing. It's always fascinating. There's always new stuff. And so as long as they're curious, they're going to find something they love about any number of the manufacturing fields.
And there's right now, and I hope I'm not taking you the wrong direction here, but right now there's a lot of these manufacturers, a lot of these industries and groups that are taking students under their wing, that they can get their hands on this equipment right now and see if that appeals to them, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm actually hiring an intern, interviewing an intern later this week. So, yeah, bringing them in and getting them exposed to that. And the more they can see, they're only limited by their imagination.
Thank you so much, Norm Stecker and Nathan Wormitsu, for joining us today.
Thank you.
This has been a great conversation. And, folks, look this up more. Find more information at cobrt.com. We'll have a link to the podcast. Find out more for your kids.
Perfect. Thank you, Tammy.